In this episode, we talk about the WWE releases that struck late last week, some big names leaving the company, along with all stuff AEW. They had their TV special Grand Slam, and obviously the controversy that happened on that show in regards to a possible concussion to Jon Moxley, as well as the upcoming brand new pay-per-view Wrestle Dream, all happening on today's episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Let's go. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again with another podcast for you guys. Hope you are well. Hope you are looking forward to the week ahead. You know, it's going to be a very good week, especially when it comes to wrestling. This weekend, we have WWE NXT No Mercy. They brought a No Mercy pay-per-view to the NXT brand. And of course, we're going to get Becky Lynch on that show as the defending NXT Women's Champion. And of course, we've got the debuting AEW Wrestle Dream, which some of the matches on that card look phenomenal. Look like it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, obviously, we're going to discuss Wrestle Dream in this podcast. And, you know, the ties that it seemingly made to Inoki, to Japanese wrestling somewhat. And I don't really think they've delivered on that kind of stuff. But myself and my guest will get into it. And of course, those dreaded releases, you know, some of those big names that were let go, albeit, we have to be honest, albeit, you know, it wasn't the uproar of the pandemic releases where it's like you're letting go of big talents with big potential. The guys that they let go of this time around, they have seen, you know, better days for a lot of them. Shelton Benjamin, I just don't think, you know, you should be ever getting rid of Shelton Benjamin. He knows too much. He's too experienced. He's too professional. You keep him backstage coaching, or just keep him. You see what I mean? And just use him on TV sparingly if he's all right with that. Mustafa Ali, who, you know, we know he's kind of wanting to go for some time, but he tries. He works very hard, that guy. Dolph Ziggler is the big one because of his tenure. 19 years in WWE. And he's been a constant, you know. He really has been a constant until, yeah, you can say maybe the last 1-2 years. But, yeah, again, someone that they're paying big money that we just don't even see enough. And one that was added late before, you know, I was recording, Matt Riddle. This one for me is just literally riddled, no pun intended, riddled in controversy just because of the controversial stuff he has done. I don't think this is anything to do with usage or anything like that. He was on TV up to 2 weeks ago. They tend to use him when he's fit and ready to go. They tend to use him a lot. This, I think, is just riddled in the controversy that surrounds Matt Riddle in general. But, yeah, myself and my guests never got to talk about Matt Riddle because, like I say, it just kind of happened. So, yeah, I keep saying my guest. Let's get into it, man. My guest is none other than Joe Hulbert. Joe does some work for Wrestle Purists, as you've seen online, very active within the community, really good guys over there. So, yeah, I had to get Joe on so that we could chop up some of this stuff in regards to the AEW Grand Slam and Wrestle Dream and talk about these releases, man. Yeah, it was good to chat with Joe. He had him on the Wrestling's Revolution Radio podcast a couple of weeks back now. So, yeah, had to run it back on my channel on this podcast. So, yeah. If you haven't already, guys, please make sure you've reviewed this podcast. Leave it with a 5-star review. Let people know about the WrestleManiac UK show. And let's get into it, man. This is my conversation with none other, Joe Hulbert, all things AEW and those damn WWE releases. So joining me at this time, we have Joe from Wrestle Purists. Bro, how you doing?
I'm terrific, mate. I'm very, very well. Thankful to be here. We got acquainted a couple of weeks back on Rest Things, so we run it back. Always, the rematches are always better, brother, so I'm glad to be here.
The rematch is always better. I like that one. Yeah, man, it was a pleasure to have you over there. And we were discussing, obviously, the big story at the time, Jade Cargill moving on from AEW. And I think it was pretty much, it was all kind of said that she was going to go to WWE, but it was still pretty much new, and it's just escalated. That particular story is escalated so quickly in the last week that, you know, they said that she was due to report to the Performance Center this week. What's your quick thoughts on how that story just sped up and, you know, she's now kind of with WWE already?
Honestly, the wrestling romantic in me is kind of just, I'm kind of intrigued by how quickly this unfolded, on the sense that we don't always know as much as we think we know, you know? Like, it's kind of refreshing to have a story of this scale break so close to the story actually unfolding. We were real close to this thing just playing out organically in front of our eyes. So I appreciate that. I think it's a credit to all involved. As you mentioned, we're not surprised about where the story's gone, right? Now, the pace of it suggests they have big plans, which is not a surprise, but I'm excited to see what those plans are.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, of course, right now everyone's talking about how they're going to debut her. Just the fact that she was on AEW TV within the last week, I'd like to think they want to capitalize off that, and they're not going to wait too long before we see her. Yeah. So that's going to be very, very interesting over the next few weeks, as to see where she turns up. But, you know, as of the time of recording, it's the 21st of September. Obviously, I'd planned to speak to Joe today. Little did I know we were going to get WWE releases. I don't know if I was the only one, but I thought these were a thing of the past. I don't know if I just associated them heavily with the pandemic and we weren't going to get these anymore. Like, I thought it was done. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess no one expected it. I'm sure you didn't expect either.
I didn't. And honestly, you know, I know when you were saying that, you probably felt yourself being like, I should have. But honestly, a lot of the talent felt the same way you did. Like, there was a lot of talk, and I saw that was even reported. I think Sean did a tweet about that today, like Sean Rossap did, about there was an internal hope this was a thing of the past. Unfortunately, the merger, I guess, always indicated it wouldn't be, right? So it's brutal. Like, now you've revealed the time we're recording this, I would like to point out that last week when we did the aforementioned show, that was the day the Jade news broke.
Yeah, yeah.
This week, you know, I thought I was just taking two, you know, quiet podcast appearances, brother. I'm here covering these hellacious tales. But it's really obviously always unfortunate days. Sadly, we got very used to these days during the pandemic, right? That was a crazy time. So you kind of adjust over. I mean, I was unlucky enough to cover a bunch of those. So it's kind of, you fear these days, but you kind of get used to them, sadly.
Yeah, I think the good thing, like, nowadays, obviously, we're out of the pandemic, God, thank God, and there's a lot more places to work. So, you know, hopefully, you know, these guys and girls land on their feet and they can find somewhere. But you mentioned, obviously, the merger, there was cuts from the employees in the offices and stuff last week. And even then, there was still no talks of actual talent leaving. But as of the time of recording, they had done the first round of people leaving, releases. And I say that because it is 9:15 as we're recording now, 9:15 p.m. And it's been said around 10 p.m., NXT releases may start trickling through. So currently, the names that have been released, Mustafa Ali, Emma, Rick Boogs, Aaliyah, Elias, Riddick Moss, Madcap Moss, Top Dollar, not Hit Row, Top Dollar, Shelton Benjamin, and I guess the big one is Dolph Ziggler. Just to speak on Dolph Ziggler quickly, just because of his tenure in WWE, like, I'm sure he must have been there like nearly 20 odd years now.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you think of them getting rid of him at this point?
Unfortunately, I think the writing was on the wall. A couple weeks back, when Gunther was getting ready to break the record, they did a video package about, like, you know, the great IC champs. And I could be wrong on this. He was not in that video once. And that was an alarm bell thing for me, because I think he's won that belt like 4 or 5, maybe more times, yeah, right? He's had a lot. Yeah. And I remember thinking that was interesting. And the following week, Ryan Nemeth tweeted that hilarious Photoshop of them together.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, I don't know how this is trending. It had been a while since I saw him. So I wasn't like stunned by it. He is the big one, right, in terms of name value. And it's always interesting, like, guys like him kind of fade to the background. But when news like this breaks, everyone suddenly remembers, right? Like, we all have memories of that dude. Like, he's been a constant. So it's been nice to see people celebrating his run, because it was a hell of a run. He could have done a lot more, but he still did an awful lot.
Yeah.
I think he's an intriguing name to add into the kind of wider wrestling landscape. Now, we're doing this very fresh off news. I don't know what he wants to do. He may have no interest in doing any of these things, but like, Dolph doing like a kind of weird freelance run as an indie guy is intriguing to me, I have to be honest, because he's never wrestled outside WWE, right? Yeah. So, not surprised, but I hope he's well. And look, regardless of anything else, what a run. As you said, nearly two decades. Like, he had a hell of a run.
Yeah, and you know, the cynic in me says he pinched a lot of money from that company. And he, I don't mean pinched as in like he stole it, like he wasn't a good wrestler. He was a really good wrestler. But you know, by the time he's left now, we know he was probably one of the top earners there, over $1 million a year. So it's kind of one of them ones where you're looking at your books and you want to reduce things. It's like, we're paying this guy over $1 million, we're not really using him. Like, you know, it becomes an academic choice. You mentioned obviously an indie run. I had always kind of fantasy booked, especially around 2016 and stuff. I think just before that program with The Miz, if you remember, for the IC title, because he wasn't doing much of anything and it looked like they were going to do this whole, if you don't win, you're out sort of stuff. I thought, what would Dolph Ziggler in Bullet Club look like? Dolph Ziggler in New Japan with Bullet Club, with the other gaijins. I just thought, let's run it, like repackage him as DZ or something like that. Like, I felt like that could have been really good. And then, you know, do the trademark thing, eventually come back to WWE and actually be rated. You know, they're taking him a lot more seriously. It's the world is his oyster. And obviously Shelton Benjamin as well. Great talent. I just feel like they must be able to keep Benjamin on as a coach or something at the very least.
Yeah, you'd think so. And I must admit, I do think that's where Shelton is probably increasingly going to be more valuable, right? Because just on age, I mean, he's a freak of nature, but he is nearly 50. To your point about Dolph and Bullet Club, like, that was him and Cody makes for a fascinating parallel, because like, you really, if you just switch them and imagine Dolph makes that move in 2015 or whatever it was, he absolutely would have been in Bullet Club. And it's like, it's, you know, these are the choices, man. I'm sure Dolph sleeps okay at night because you said he made a lot of money. But yeah, it's interesting. Shelton is, I have to be honest, I haven't seen him perform at a high level for a while because he hasn't had a chance to, right? I mean, Shelton's been working main event a lot. It would be nice for him to get a kind of, you know, the career equivalent of a victory lap, right? Get a run where he gets a lot of appreciation and gets a nice send-off to his career. From what I understand of him as a character, he's going to be an incredible coach or producer. He just has a great grasp of the industry and is a class act. So everyone's rooting for Shelton. You know, I don't know if he's going to have the big run that folks are hoping for, but I'd like him to get something because he deserves that, I think.
So I guess some of the more established and bigger wrestlers within this release that we've heard of so far would be Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin, Mustafa Ali. Obviously, we know there's now a noisy neighbor, you know, not too far away in AEW. Do you think that we can see any of these guys turn up, or who would you like to see kind of maybe at least dip their foot over there, just have one or two spotlight matches with some of the talent in AEW?
I think Ali is the one that I would lock in. I think he'll be there very soon. I think he's a talented guy. I have never quite seen, to be totally frank, what others have seen with him. And I think he's very talented, but like, I never saw world champion with him. I think he's, I never saw that. And a lot of people did, but that's the beauty of it, right? But I think he's absolutely someone that they're going to be excited to see what he has. So I think he's a lock for AEW. I think you'll see Dolph work a handful of dates for them. Even if it's something as simple as working like one of Brian's farewell matches before the next 20 years where he's a part-timer. So I think those two, I have to be honest, I do not think the list is particularly AEW friendly, is the way I'll phrase it. There's a lot of names who, you know, your mind goes to an Impact, and that is kind of a pejorative and an insult. I know that. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, this is a different crop of guys to who we saw getting released in 2020 and 2021, I felt. And it kind of reflects who Triple H has pushed on TV, because a handful of these guys are like gimmick guys. And I don't see where an Elias or a Rick Boogs fits on the other channel. They can still get work. But yeah, I see those two names personally. But that part is always kind of interesting to see who gets a shot elsewhere.
Yeah, this is going to be, I guess, the chatter for the next couple of weeks, especially as these 90 days kind of rule kind of trickle down. I'll be interested to see if Mustafa Ali is 90 days, because I think they said that in the past NXT talents are 30 days. Now, obviously, we know he's free agent or whatever they're doing, so I don't know if he's actually 30 days or 90 days, but he's in NXT, and it's crazy because he's meant to be at a pay-per-view on the weekend sort of thing. But I guess, you know, that's not happening now. Shelton Benjamin, I think, could have a one-off match or something. So. How they brought in Rob Van Dam not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rob Van Dam's coming back this weekend.
I'd like to see that, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things, right, where it's like, what does the talent want? Because, again, I think we both agreed coaching is where Shelton's going to eventually prosper. So,
yeah,
if he wants to get into that now, I think there's a gig for an episode. But either way, I'm with you. I'd like to see a one-off for sure.
Yeah. Ali, as you mentioned, could probably be the one they look at for definitely a long-term signing. Yeah. Very creative guy. I think he's always tried. He's definitely always tried in WWE. And whether they haven't given the time of day or nothing he's done has stuck, I don't know, but he always keeps trying. Dolph Ziggler fascinates me because obviously we know he does his comedy thing on the side. It's like, how do you actually still want to wrestle at this point? Right. Like, all the money you've made and everything else you're doing, you still want to wrestle. And the one thing I think that could take him to AEW might actually just be his brother, and maybe an attempt to try and get his brother over, whether that's through a tag team run or going up against each other, who knows. But do you see something there beyond maybe, like you said, one-off matches with Danielson for Dolph Ziggler?
I think it would be foolish to write it off, right? Because let's be honest, there are a lot of guys on AEW TV who are not nearly as good as Dolph right now. And that's, you know, that's just the reality of it. I could absolutely see him getting a full-time contract. Honestly, the reason I don't expect him to is because of what you kind of alluded to at the start there, which is I don't really know if that's what he wants to do. You know, he seems really chill and just kind of like, he does some wrestling every once in a while. Yeah. Now, again, as a fan, it would really intrigue me how he would do in imagine Dolph doing like blood sport and being like amateur wrestler though. You know, these things, but I think reality is he's probably going to do some stuff for AEW with his brother, which you said. Now, is that going to be the run that folks dreamed up for Dolph outside of WWE? Probably not, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, you know, he'll have fun and do BTE skits and stuff. So whatever makes the dude happy, like he's a guy who I think pretty openly checked out on some level. And his approach was like, when I have a real match, I'll make sure I entertain the people, but I ain't worrying about this beyond that.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he can find something to do, you know, kind of in wrestling outside of WWE, because as we said, you know, never been outside that system. That is insane for a guy his pedigree. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, man. He could get the All Elite graphic on day one of his 90-day ending. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, he's you said he possibly checked out, and I think, yeah, for you to have so many ventures and your fingers in so many different pies while you're still meant to be active, and yeah, there might be a level of that's the deal they gave him, that's the deal he brokered for himself, which fair play. But I think he's done all he can, and like we mentioned, that particular window that, you know, he maybe could have moved on and then eventually come back. But credit to him, you know, about 20 years nonstop to be on TV for that long, you just have to pay respect to the guy. So he's done very well in that respect.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about AEW. Just this past week, they've had their, you know, AEW Grand Slam, the big stadium show at Arthur Ashe in New York City. The thing that kind of has soured people / been the main talking point out of that particular show is what happened in the AEW International Championship match. It seems that John Moxley had at least some level of concussion in the match. And there was an audible called eventually, and Rey Fénix is now the AEW International Champion. Firstly, in regards to the concussion, the spot that the power driver spots towards the end, how did you see it? What did you think when you saw the referee not counting the three the first time? What's your thoughts on that?
Man, it's, you know, with what we do, you never want to be a guy who's piling on, right? Rick Knox has been a target, and fairly so.
Yeah.
But it has to be said, it's just not good enough, you know? Like, I don't know what I'm looking at when it comes to professional wrestling. I've never been in the ring in my life. And I was talking to them during the match saying Mox is hurt. Mox didn't look right at all in the match. He got hurt on the first dive, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they said, yeah.
And I rewatched the match today, and Rick Knox didn't communicate with him once during that match, you know? And it's like, if I can see as a completely uneducated eye that Mox is not right, he's got to be more present than that. And I'm sure he feels terrible, and that's why I feel bad even, you know, doubling down on this. But we have to be honest. I mean, like, this is a little bit of a trend with Rick Knox in terms of him not being present enough inside those ropes. And in fear of being dramatic, that the consequences of that could be dire, because it's a very dangerous thing. And so my reaction to it, to be honest, was like frustration, because I couldn't believe what was happening. Ray Phoenix, his decision making could have been better. I mean, picking him up and hitting another pile driver was not the play. But I guess the way I see it is, he's in, you know, in the heat of the battle, whereas Rick Knox's purpose should be to actively be, you know, protecting the guys in terms of safety. So it was a complete mess in every which way, and it did put a sour on an event they should be very proud of overall, because they've got to be better than that, man. They're not a, you know, they've been a company for 4 years now, and the lack of communication, the lack of alert, right? Like, how's no one on a headset even saying Mox is not with it?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. There's so many steps that should have been taken before we got Tim taking two pile drivers. So many.
Yeah,
where we ended up, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think people have been piling on unfairly just in general on AEW, saying that this is always the case. I mean, it's happened on multiple occasions in the past 4 years. One too many, of course, but it's not like it's happening every week, so we don't need to be over dramatic about it. But I'm just thinking, Rick Knox in that situation, you're totally right in saying he has to be more present. I can only imagine it's hard, though, to, you know, this is not even just any old wrestler. This is Moxley that you're basically going to say, nope. You know, you're going to say no to Moxley and then call off his match. It must be a difficult position to be in. And Moxley has a level of care to himself and to Ray Phoenix as well, that he has to say, like, no, I don't feel good. Because especially with Ray Phoenix's arsenal, if he does some crazy flip, he has to catch him. Like, you see what I mean? Like, I just feel like everyone here is culpable. The referee is in charge of the match ultimately, so it'll fall with him. But everyone here is culpable for what happened.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like, it's difficult, right? Because with referees, they're very seldom going to be the hero, but they're often going to be the villain, right? Same with real sports. It's like, very rarely are you going to watch a great match and come out of it and say, man, Rick Knox killed it tonight. It's just not how it works. So again, I'm always hesitant with these things, because it's a really hard job, and I'm sure he feels terrible. But I think when you compare his general handling of these things to, honestly, other AEW referees, it's noticeable. Like, he sometimes just seems like the action's going on around him. Now, if the wrestlers are comfortable with him, the wrestlers are comfortable with him, but there needs to be many, many steps within your process internally that stops it from getting that far. And again, it could be someone on the headset. Everyone should be watching closely, because you mentioned Ray Phoenix has a very dynamic arsenal. Every single dive, it can go wrong. I mean, lest we forget, a couple of years ago when he took a simple table spot, but a simple table spot is very dangerous, and his arm got, you know, when he hurt his arm, it's like any given spot that can happen. So it just, everyone needs to be more alert. And thankfully, it seems like Mox is okay, right? It seems, you know, relatively speaking, of course he was concussed, but it seems like he's okay. So you can only hope everyone learns from it. You know, I think whenever we talk about these topics, none of us are like trying to be, you know, fire him, get rid of him. It's just like, we're talking about it because we don't want to see things go worse. This is a very dangerous thing, you know? So hopefully they learn from this and their process gets a little tighter moving forward.
Yeah, that would be good to see. Like I said, it's not often it happens, but probably one too many times in the last 4 years. But it's landed us in somewhere that I don't think anyone expected following Grand Slam. Ray Phoenix is now the AEW International Champion. I don't mind it, because, you know, a Ray Phoenix singles run in AEW is something that I'm sure in one way, shape or form, we probably all wanted at some point. I'm scared that Tony Khan is going to revert to what he knows as he does. Like, you know, this wasn't in my plan. As soon as Mox is ready, give the belt back to Mox. When I think we have a real opportunity here to do something with Rey Fénix. What's your thoughts on it?
I agree both with your take that there's an opportunity and also your fear that Tony's going to revert immediately back when Moxley's available. Like, I'd imagine Tony had some plan for Moxley and he'll probably just go back to that. I'm with you. Like, and the other thing too, is I love John Moxley, but I had no interest in him as like work rate mid-card champ. It's not what I want to see him doing, man. I want to see Mox doing main event feuds where he's cutting promos back and forth for guys. I don't want to see him going 12 minutes faction Andre, you know, like now Rey Fénix, on the other hand, hey, now we can do some cool stuff with those matches, right? He's perfect for that belt. So we agree on two fronts with that. We both think it's an opportunity and also think it's not going to be used or capitalized on. So you get what you get.
Yeah, I don't think that Rey Fénix needs like an extended long run, like maybe 2 months or so, but you know, he can wrestle across Dynamite, Collision, all of these shows, and you know, just have lots of nice spots. They've obviously kind of started building their own little luchador division anyway. Give us those matches, and you know, let Mox, if Mox is going to come back into it, let's do it somewhat organically. You know, obviously there's a protocol for the concussion stuff. It's going to take him probably a couple of weeks to get back to TV anyway. Let's just not do it like at the first opportunity.
Yeah, we agree. And I just, honestly, to circle back to Moxley in general, it feels like this gives you an opportunity to, like, I would recommend 10.5 step back with Mox and figuring out his usage in general. Like, I think he's so consistent and works so hard for that promotion. They've kind of let him undercut his own star power by wrestling so often, you know? I think it'd be worth just considering, if you're going to be away for a couple of weeks, how can we make him as valuable as he can be? Because in terms of talent, it goes with, like, he's one of their best promos. He consistently gives them good action. But him wanting to wrestle every week is not necessarily the best thing for AEW's main event scene, right? So yeah. I would recommend kind of reconsidering his usage in general, but we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, I think they do. There is a possible issue of overexposure there. Obviously, on the night of Grand Slam, we saw Claudio drop his Ring of Honor title. We saw Mox obviously lose the AEW International title. On Collision, we're going to have this Texas Death Match, which I can assume is probably Ricky Starks getting his win back against Danielson. So maybe they can tell a story where BCC aren't necessarily in a good place right now, and they use it as an opportunity, like you say, and maybe take them all off TV somewhat, or pull them back a bit. I know things are a bit hard in terms of TV right now. They use it for some type of opportunity like that, to just reset the group. You know, even I personally have a thing of the whole BCC, like the Blackpool aspect of them has left the building. Like, I don't even know how I feel. I love all of them, but like, I don't know. Maybe they do need a refresh in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think they're in some ways less than some of their parts, right? They're so talented as individuals. Is it easy to book them as a collective without just using Uta as the punching bag? No, clearly not. It feels like they're back babyface too, right? So like, that kind of makes it even harder. So I wouldn't, and I loved it as a concept, especially with Regal there. I wouldn't be opposed to, like, let's let everyone go their separate ways, because they're three heavy hitters, man. Like, and Uta's great in his own right, but Uta can go his own journey. He's a young guy. Yeah. But the three main guys, they're main event players, and they're all bunched up right now. So it hasn't been the home run it looked to be on paper, but there's a lot of reasons for that. They're out of their control too. So it was a fun idea, if nothing else, I think, BCC.
Yeah, I think it's done well. It's probably served its purpose at this point.
Yeah.
We'll see where they go from here, like we're saying. Round the corner, we've got Wrestle Dream. This is their first ever Wrestle Dream that they're doing, new pay-per-view that they're putting in October. And am I right in saying that this was to celebrate the life of Antonio Inoki? That's why they're going ahead and doing this, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we kind of just talk about what's on the card so far, what's your, like, your personal perception of them doing it in that honor? And I because I don't feel like they maybe that they haven't, it hasn't quite translated. If it's just the name, then it's just the name, fair enough. But other than that, like, I was thinking, is this like a Forbidden Door 2? Like, what is this? What do I think about Wrestle Dream? And I haven't quite formed an opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really present at all in terms of how they're promoting the show, so you're fair to not really. I mean, it's just a case of, we're now going to do monthly pay-per-views, and that's a cool name I'd like to use. If I schedule it on that day, then it can serve two purposes. Because, to your point, the Inoki piece is, like, totally absent from everything beyond the initial announcement when Tony made it. Yeah. So it's not really a factor, which is kind of unfortunate, and it doesn't seem like it's going to affect the matchmaking at all. Or to me, anyway. And I know that MJF described it on Twitter this week as a New Japan themed show, which is not apparent to me as someone who's watching the TV show. So, kind of weird, kind of clunky, but I think the reality is it's just they're going to do monthly pay-per-views, it seems like, now, right? So that's the way this one is going to be themed, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. We're going to come back to that. But in terms of the matches that it looks like we're getting, obviously the big one is, I guess, the dream match, one of the retirement tour matches from Danielson, him versus ZSJ Zack Sabre Jr. Looking forward to this one?
Absolutely, yeah. This is an actual dream match, right? It's earned that billing, and I think it will be, as always with Brian in these matches, he works them almost exclusive for himself sometimes, so they will just actually mat wrestle for around 25, half an hour. So I'm looking forward to it a lot. Super happy for Zach, because I know we mentioned this last week, like, it was kind of crazy to me he didn't make Wembley, because even though he's not an AEW guy, it's like, man, he's, you know, he felt like he'd be on there. So I'm glad he's getting a big match.
He's very British, if I'm allowed to say that. Yes. He is, like, within his wrestling, his style, just, you know, the Cockney nature of him, he is very British. So him not being on that Wembley card, yeah, when you look back on it, it's going to be like, oh, he should have been there.
October's a big month for him, right? Because he has the Dragon match, and then he has the Osprey,
yeah,
the domestic dust-up we've got in London. Real so, quest.
Yeah,
very, very exciting, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I don't doubt, you know, with him being invited to Wrestle Dream, he'll probably be in the plan for All In next year, I'd like to think.
Yeah, I think he may be All Elite by then, to be totally honest, because there's going to be some guys who have been working there a long time who are ready to, you know, it's a nice gig, man. You know, if you get a nice house in Florida, a flight of TV every once in a while, send a pre-tape in, it's a hell of a time, man.
It's not a bad shout. It's not a bad shout. Yeah, he definitely deserves a big stage. ZSJ's worked his ass off for many, many years now. We've got Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page, which obviously on Grand Slam, it didn't really move forward per se, but I think they're doing some bits on Rampage or Collision this week to help move that story along. FTR, it looks like they're taking on Aussie Open. It will be Aussie Open that they take on at Wrestle Dream. Were you at the first Royal Quest?
I was, yeah. So I was there for, I'd booked for night two. Second one, it's fine. It's been a long time, don't worry. I was booked for night two, and then they announced that was on night one. And I was like, oh. So I did the double header. I had to see that match. It delivered too. My God, that match was extraordinary, wasn't it? So I'm excited for the rematch. I will admit, I think they probably could have done a slight better job. And by slight, I mean a much better job of, like, getting Aussie Open ready for this.
Yeah.
Jericho and Sammy beating them now is, like, one of the more insane things Tony's done as of late, because that didn't make any sense in the end. It was noticeable when they called out FTR. The reaction was not electric, we'll say that. And but here's the thing. When the bell rings, like, that match is going to be great, right? Yeah, it'll be fine once the bell rings. So I'm excited for the rematch for sure.
Yeah, I'd done the doubleheader at Royal Quest last year as well, and this was the highlight. I was knackered the next day because of what I had seen in the main event of the first night. Like, it was crazy. Brilliant, brilliant match. This is the kind of stuff that's kind of, you know, I feel like AEW, when they started, we almost promised that, you know, we're going to relight tag team wrestling. And at times they really have. And maybe within the last year, they've dropped the ball on that promise. Yeah. But this is definitely one of the matches that can bring things back to life. For those that have seen it, like I say, at Royal Quest, you know what to expect on Wrestle Dream when we get it. So yeah, that's gonna be a banger. And then we've got Shibata defending the Pure Championship. Is there any rumors, speculation, or anything out there as to who that could be right now?
I don't think so. I mean, I know they scared most of us when they put up that Nick Wayne graphic, so we're still recovering. And this may be where they do the New Japan theme match, right? I could definitely see them going with a fellow New Japan legend. That would kind of make the most sense.
Who do you think?
Like, I could see them doing like Yuji Nagata maybe, or someone like an older fella that they can, because then there's a more, it fits the event, which the part of the event that we just mentioned they don't talk about.
The non-existent part.
Pure Rules makes it kind of interesting too, because that's a very, Pure Rules can be very limiting sometimes. Yeah. If you put in the wrong, I think we've even seen it with some of Shibata's matches. So I'm not sure. They did the promo where he announced he was going to be on it, and Kevin Kelly put it over like they announced Joe Holbrook was going to be on it. So we'll hopefully things pick up in the coming weeks.
Yeah. I feel like Danny Garcia, although he's kind of had a go, he's kind of like him not being an All In now, when I look back at it as well, it doesn't sit right with me. Not even on the pre-show or anything like that. So maybe they can do that. I mean, he's not really doing much of anything right now on TV.
He's not.
Maybe they can run that back. And also, we've got MJF and Adam Cole. They're supposed to defend the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles, probably against the Kingdom. We'll obviously see following Rampage. I haven't seen any spoilers, but Oh, it's not?
I've got some bad news for you, my friend.
Oh, tell us, because this is going to be out by the time anyway. So. Well,
I'm sorry to announce on 4-day delay here that they're wrestling the Righteous on WrestleDream.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it either.
But at the same time, they have been trying to push the Righteous somewhat. Like, it's not what I want.
Yeah, they've been trying, bro. I don't know. You never want to dismiss guys finally getting their big break, right? I mean, good for the Righteous, but there's got to be a better way than MJF working two straight papes against the Dark Order and the Righteous. There has to be another way.
That's true.
But I didn't get why. I mean, obviously, I'm biased. I mean, of course, but it's like, I feel like the way they did to finish the Grand Slam, they could have easily just run Joe and Max back. Again. They did a handshake instead. So I don't know. It's kind of weird, this emerging theme of like MJF being a tag team undercard wrestler on pay-per-view. I don't get it. So, but yeah, it's the Righteous, which is very funny.
It's true. I was just saying this to NK that with the rumor of these pay-per-views all coming thick and fast now every month, you know, it's actually MJF's thing that he doesn't wrestle so much. And how are they going to negate it? How are they not going to make this? We're now just feeding MJF the whole roster. I mean, the tag team thing, I guess, is one way, but it's really beneath him. And these aren't even like, you know, the AEW tag team titles. It's the Ring of Honor tag team titles. So there's even an argument, should they even be on AEW pay-per-views?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I definitely didn't see the Righteous winning this. I thought the through ball was the Kingdom. So yeah, that surprised me. But we'll see how it goes.
We will. I mean, it'll probably be fine in the building because they're so over, right? Cole and MJF. It's a weird deal because it's the way they're doing it with Max on pay-per-view this last couple now is like, you would think they're playing with house money, right? Like, it's fine, everything's good. It's like, you know, we need to start selling more tickets and pay-per-views. Like, you can't just punt on MJF matches. I'm sure that, you know, he has a lot of say in these things, but they've got enough guys to just have a real world title match, even if it's not the Joe rematch. I'm sure there's someone that's free that could wrestle him for the belt. In fact, we're doing the Inoki part of it that we're not actually doing, but kind of doing. Have a New Japan guy work him, and he can do his shtick, the New Japan shtick if he has to. In the most polite way possible, anything but the Righteous, because really, I mean, come on, there's got to be a time and a place. I mean, you can push the Righteous, but they got their first win like a week ago, and they're going to wrestle the world champ. It's insane.
It doesn't really add up. We'll see. What's your thoughts on this, the move to HBO when they're saying that it'll be 12 pay-per-views a year? I just feel like AEW is that identity thing. You know, it's looking more and more like WWE in some of these aspects now, where they want that, and that it could be just literally down to their success. So maybe these networks and whomsoever want to start emulating what they see, what they've seen work before. But yeah, 12 pay-per-views a year, you know, one a month. What's your thoughts on all of that?
It's a real balance for me, where it's like, I think it's hard not to be concerned, because you're stretching everything thin. Are you really about to maintain your hit record, your hit rate on pay-per-view when you're doing one a month? Probably not, right? There's going to be misses. There just has to be. But then the other part of me says, Tony's kind of bad at these builds, and when you give him 3 months to build them, he makes a real mess of it. Maybe if we just swarm him with pay-per-views, he has no choice but to build them. And I, in a weird way, Wrestle Dream has captured that, right? Because Wrestle Dream, he's like, he's had no choice but to build it. He's had 4 weeks. You know, some of those matches have some juice. So I think it may help the weekly product to have something that's immediately ahead of it at all times. But it could go the other way, where it's like, man, this is too much content. The biggest X factor is, you mentioned HBO, it has to be an affordable deal. They cannot do full price pay-per-views every month. It's going to run their audience off, you know? So there's a lot of things to be concerned about, I think, with this move. But I also think there's room to be positive about it focusing their creative, rather than having these really weird kind of vague months where they're drifting nowhere. So, hopefully it's a positive. It's going to make them a lot of money, I'm sure. So I guess that's a positive in itself, right? But we'll see. Yeah.
They've got a lot of talent. And you know, with two shows now in AEW, Dynamite and Collision, you'd think they've got more than enough talent to fill these, even if it's a case of, like, you know, how WWE kind of did before. SmackDown gets one pay-per-view 1 month, the following month it's Raw, SmackDown, Raw, like alternate it between the two shows if they want to kind of split it like that in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, hopefully it doesn't just become a thing of, you know, it's literally a blatant money grab for pay-per-view buys, right, and all of that kind of stuff. And we're actually still getting, I think, you know, the talent will always do a good job in the ring. But it's the stories going in. Like, I'm beginning, from both sides, WWE and AEW, I'm beginning to get a bit frustrated with just, you know, the match will bang. Let's not worry about what we're putting on TV every week. So, yeah, I don't want the TV product to decline at all.
It's a problem, right? Like, and it's, when you say it, you get kind of laughed off, because I think we're both where it sounds dumb to be like, oh, there's too many good matches, whatever. It's like, oh, that's a real thing, though, right? Like, just telling me, like, yeah, granted, you don't care about this at all, but trust me, bro, when it gets, it's like, can you make me care, though? You know, like, last night was a classic example of that, where you had the Eddie match open, which I actually cared about and was invested in. They followed with Jericho and Sammy, which I'd been told for months would be good. And I'm sitting there going, is it good? I don't know, because I don't care, right? That's wrestling. Like, so I'm with you completely. Like, I'd like to see both the lead bookers lock in more on story and personality, because it's a lot of matchmaking right now, which is good, but we need both. That's the balance of wrestling.
Yeah. We're singing from the same sheet, man. Definitely, it's for the betterment of the products and the industry and us as fans in enjoying it. Joe, it's been great to have you, bro. You want to tell the people where they can find you?
I would love to. I mean, you've done me a favor with this graphic, this beautiful graphic. At Joe Holbert on Twitter, we'll give you, on X, wherever we're doing that, X. that will give you all my links and stuff. I appear on Wrestle Periods every Monday, and I do a bunch of nonsense about wrestling you don't care about, so I'm over there at Joe Holbert, and you'll get caught up pretty quick on my ridiculousness, I'm sure. But thanks for having me, brother.
No problem. Joe's one of the good guys, people, so make sure you're following him on the X platform. And yeah, man, Joe, I hope we'll get you back on here soon.
For sure, man. Absolutely.
Big up my guy Joe for coming through, man. Great conversation. He shed some light on, obviously, the releases. And, you know, as we were kind of wrapping up our recording, the NXT releases began and some of the names there as well. Listen, I think, like, if I'm allowed to say this, look, it's not cool for anyone to lose their job. It's not cool at all. But the pandemic releases spun all of us, and it was potentially because of the names. It definitely, actually, in fact, it was because of the names that are being released. And you're thinking, how, like, this guy hasn't even got going yet. You see what I mean? Or this girl doesn't deserve this, or whatever the case is. No one deserves it. But I think this time around, there's a level of peace for those that are being released. They either wanted to be released, they are just not being used on TV. They're real, real fringe players. So it's like, yeah, I can see it. I get it. I understand it. And it's not nice because obviously you sign a contract and you think that, you know, you're going to at least be there for the length of your contract. But I think a lot of the people released have possibly done their best work already. They've got a ceiling in WWE. WWE will never necessarily give them the chance for the next step. Some of them are better off, you know, they've never been in any other system. They're better off going to try, whether it be the Ring of Honors, AEWs, Impacts, you know, going abroad. Like, they might as well go and try something else, see if they can raise their stock that way and return in a more grandioso fashion, which we have seen happen so many times at this point. It's a proven, you know, way of raising your stock and coming back and getting more opportunities. So I think that is definitely what some of them, in terms of their approach, that they will be taking. And there's great examples. Cody Rhodes, fantastic example. Drew McIntyre, fantastic example. Even Matt Cardona right now, king of the indies. And he dropped a nice message to everyone saying, you know, this could either be the beginning of your career or the end, depending what you want, sort of thing. Motivating them. So big up to everyone that was released. It's a hard time, but don't, you know, wallow in it. You know, there's definitely more opportunities out there, and that's the other kind of benefit from now compared to, you know, pandemic days. There was nothing else to kind of go to because of, you know, there was the pandemic, there was nothing else was open. So yeah, there's other places. And you know, for those of us that just watch WWE, if you just watch WWE, I'm sure you will be seeing some of these men and women down the line again very soon. But that's it, guys. Let's wrap up today's podcast. I'll get this one out to you as soon as possible. Big up everyone for tuning in. Like I said earlier, please review the podcast if you haven't, whether that's on Apple, whether that's on Spotify, whether that's on Google Podcasts, wherever you listen, drop a review. I'd really, really appreciate it. And yeah, share this, let people know. Big up Joe again for coming through, and we'll be back with more podcasts talking all things wrestling. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.